KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Chance for snow today, otherwise overcast skies. Highs level off around 19, winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 2 above. Tonight, clear skies and quiet. Bright sunshine expected again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 29. A dusting of snow today. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 15.
This is an Ag Business Update from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers. Prospects of a broader Russian invasion of Ukraine pushing up U.S. wheat futures on concerns the crisis could affect exports from the two countries. Kansas City March wheat future contract for hard red winter wheat closed on Wednesday at nearly $9.14 a bushel, up 32 cents for the day. Likewise, in Minneapolis, the March contract in spring wheat rose 15 cents at $10.01. By way of comparison, the Kansas City March hard red winter wheat futures contract closed on February 3rd at $7.50 a bushel. Ryan Turner of StoneX said it's about 29% of the global wheat exports that comes out of the Russian-Ukraine region, so it is a big deal. He said the rest of the world would have to pick up the slack, and that's why the markets are running higher. By the way, USDA's Foreign Ag Service predicted earlier this month that Ukraine would export a record-breaking 24 million metric tons of wheat this year. Police have been reinstalling security fences around the U.S. Capitol ahead of President Biden's State of the Union address and the expected arrival of protesting truckers. According to a report by Reuters, a convoy of about two dozen trucks left California yesterday, bound for D.C., but a second convoy that started in Scranton, Pennsylvania, headed to D.C. Yesterday with just one single 18-wheeler. Protest organizer said the trucks wouldn't try to disrupt traffic. Senate aides were warned in a notice Wednesday that the convoys may cause higher than normal traffic volume and possible transportation disruptions on around roadways in the D.C. area. That is Ag News from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Kansas Mid-America Network News. Wichita police have arrested two suspects for allegedly beating a homeless man to death in Riverside on Tuesday. Sedgwick County jail records show 63-year-old David Chandler and 31-year-old Abel Molina were booked early Wednesday morning for second-degree murder and failure to comply. Officers responded at around 7 p.m. to the report of a person being beaten on the bridge in the 600 block of North Seneca near McLean. Police and EMS located 30-year-old Blake Barnes and took him to a local hospital where he died. Police spokesperson Trevor Mason said both suspects and the victim are known to be homeless. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office says deputies still need the communities to help find Tyrone Ty Leroy Alexander, 48, of Baldwin City. Alexander is wanted for felony fleeing and eluding law enforcement, aggravated assault, and felony interference with law enforcement. Anyone with information on Alexander's whereabouts should contact Crime Stoppers at 785-843-8477. This is Kansas Mid-America Network News.
Want a great deal on a newer used trailer and service to back you up? See Horse Trailer Sales.
You've been running all around, but you still haven't found the kind of deal that you're looking for. Come on down and see us, and we're going to show you how we can save you so much more. We make it easy. We make it easy.
If you're looking for the place with that special buy on a great new or used trailer, well, at Horse Trailer Sales, we make it easy on a great selection of hitches and accessories that will catch your eye. And Horse Trailer Sales prices will make you buy. If you've been waiting for the right time to buy, then this is it. It's your chance to save a whole lot more at Horse Trailer Sales. Because at Horse Trailer Sales, we've got what you're looking for, and we make it easy. Come on in and see what we've got. Horse Trailer Sales, 6901 South 183rd Street West in Biola. Yeah, we make it easy.
The Wichita Fire Department responded to a house fire early this morning north of Wichita West High School. The fire was located at West Dayton and Osage Streets. When crews arrived, the home was fully engulfed in flames. According to the fire department, the homeowner's dog woke him up to warn him of the fire. He was able to escape without any major injuries, and fortunately, the home didn't have a smoke detector. Fire crews tried to battle the blaze from inside the home, but the roof started to collapse. Luckily, no firefighters were injured. Right now, the cause of the blaze hasn't been determined. The Harvey County Sheriff's Office said Wednesday that it's investigating harassment claims against two deputies. The deputies were not named by the Sheriff's Office. In a social media post Wednesday afternoon, the department said it has begun an internal investigation to gather more information and that the deputies have been placed on administrative leave. The post read, quote, "We take these allegations with the utmost seriousness," unquote. This is Kansas Mid-America Network News.
When you own a business of any kind, you need an insurance policy that'll protect it. You need business insurance that perfectly suits your industry, and Blue Valley Insurance is proud to offer it. When you get an insurance policy from us, you're taking the first step towards protecting your business, your employees, and yourself. Let's start with an overview of the types of coverage you can expect. Stop by for quotes at Blue Valley Insurance in Lynn, Greenleaf, Hanover, and Marysville.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News. A man is facing life in prison after being convicted of killing an Omaha realtor and putting his body in a crawl space. A Douglas County jury deliberated about 2 hours Wednesday before convicting 44-year-old Ross Lorello III of first-degree murder in the killing of 70-year-old realtor Mickey Sodoro. Prosecutors said Lorello shot Sodoro in December of 2020 after the two men met at a home Lorello was going to rent. Prosecutors said Sodoro was shot at close range in the back of the head and his body was left in a garage crawl space at the home. A bill that would allow marijuana for medical use in Nebraska while imposing tight restrictions is hitting a wall of opposition from both legalization advocates and opponents. Some legalization supporters blasted the measure Wednesday as a poison pill that would effectively make it impossible to produce or obtain the drug legally. Opponents say they still don't want to see the drug legalized in Nebraska, calling the push a slippery slope toward recreational use. This is Nebraska Mid-America Network News.
Before you know it, spring will be here, and it'll be time to start mowing again. So now's the time to get your mower to Maximum Outdoor Equipment and get in on the Kohler Winter Service Special. Take your mower to Maximum Outdoor before the end of February, and you'll get a 15% discount on labor. Or give them a call at 943-0201 and arrange half-price pickup and delivery of your mower. The folks at Maximum Outdoor Equipment know mowers inside and out. And unlike the big box stores, they specialize in outdoor power equipment. They've been servicing Kohler engines for over 30 years and have the genuine Kohler parts and the expertise to make sure your mower is ready to mow come spring. This Kohler Winter Service Special is only good through the end of February, so don't wait too long. Bring your mower to Maximum Outdoor, just south of Kellogg on West Street, for a 15% discount on labor, or call 943-0201 for half price pickup and delivery.
Maximum service, maximum value, maximum outdoor equipment.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. The Black Squirrel City origin story, which was postponed, has been rescheduled this Thursday evening beginning at 5:30 at the Marysville City Building. In celebrating the 50th anniversary of Marysville's designation as Black Squirrel City, voting is currently underway to select the most popular of the 34 original Black Squirrel statues located in the community. The five atop the voting will be featured on the first round of collectible memorabilia to be produced as part of a year-long celebration. Voting can be done by liking the squirrel photos that appear on the Facebook page, Black Squirrel City, or in person, any Marysville bank. You may select as many squirrels as you like, with selections due by Monday, February 28. In 1972, Marysville City Council passed an ordinance to protect black squirrels. This year of celebration culminating with events in October, which has marked Black Squirrel Night festivities each year since. Plans are being finalized, but will include a parade featuring 16 new Black Squirrel statues, set to join the 34 currently on display throughout the community. Black squirrels make up about 20% of the city's squirrel population. Again, the Black Squirrel City origin story, this Thursday evening at 5:30 at the Marysville City Building, is free and open to the public. Nemaha, Jackson, Pottawatomie, and Shawnee County Conservation Districts will host the statewide Women in Agriculture event in Corning this Saturday, February 26th. The day-long session of speakers will include topics like soil health, agritourism, financing the farm, shopping Kansas farms, and keynote speakers Mark and Annette Potter will discuss all things mental health and depression. The registration is free, but space is limited. Advance reservations are requested. Phone 785-336-2186, extension 133, for the Women in Agriculture Seminar in Corning this Saturday. State Representative Lisa Mosier was a guest on our Public Affairs program this past weekend. A number of bills are being considered by the Kansas Legislature. Mosier took up the first joint bill passed this session.
To start off with, the first thing that the House and Senate both did was to pass House Bill HB 2477, which basically relaxes some regulations to help hospitals and nursing homes hire the help that they need because they have been so severely impacted by COVID. It allows certain healthcare professionals to be hired, that maybe they're in medical training or they are licensed in other states, that they can be hired by facilities in Kansas. And it also suspends certain licensures and requirements for adult care homes. So basically, this helps the healthcare industry get the employees they need to take care of people in hospitals and in our adult care homes. And so that was a huge piece that we did right out of the gate in mid-January.
The conversation with Lisa Mosier continues this weekend. Join the Public Affairs program Saturday at 7:10 on KNDY. A lengthy process of redistricting legislative seats in Kansas continues.
Redistricting has been huge on the forefront. The House and Senate passed the congressional maps, which are the maps for the four congressional districts here in Kansas, for Jake LaTurner, Tracy Mann, Sharice Davids, and Representative Ron Estes. The governor vetoed the map last week, and we overrode her veto this week. And we expect now that the maps will probably end up in court for a check and balance, and we're confident that they were drawn correctly and don't split up any voting populations. And so you'll just have to watch for more on that. And once the congressional maps are confirmed, then work will begin on state senator maps and the state representative maps. So redistricting is a long way from being over.
Washington County Farm Bureau is presenting a RAPS program informational meeting Friday, February 25th in Washington, beginning at 1 o'clock at the KSDS East Training Building. All are welcome. A legislative coffee with State Senator Elaine Bowers and State Representative Lisa Mosier is planned Saturday, February 26th, beginning 11 a.m. in Washington at the KSDS East Training Building. For additional information on either event, call Rebecca Fierking at 785-632-0721. Joyce M. Jandra, age 88, of Hanover, passed away Thursday. Funeral service Friday, 10 a.m. at St. John's Catholic Church, Hanover. Burial of the church cemetery. Rosary Thursday evening at 7 at the church. Visitation Thursday, 11 until 5 at the Hanover Mortuary. In charge of arrangements for Joyce Jandra. Connie P. Schneider, age 82, of Washington, passed away February 14th. Funeral service Friday, 10 a.m. at the Washington Christian Church. Burial in the Washington City Cemetery. Ward Funeral Home of Washington in charge of arrangements for Connie Schneider. Vernon W. Neiman, age 85, of Hanover, passed away Thursday. Funeral service Saturday, 10 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Hanover. Private burial in the Hanover Cemetery. Visitation Friday, noon until 8. Family will greet friends Friday, 6 until 8. At the Hanover Mortuary in charge of arrangements for Vern Neiman. Corey J. Waters, age 26, of Marysville, passed away on Monday. Funeral service Saturday, 10 a.m. at St. Gregory's Catholic Church in Marysville. Burial in the church cemetery. Rosary Friday evening at the church at 7. Visitation Friday, 10 until 5 at Kinsley Mortuary in Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Corey Waters. Donald A. Ubben, age 90 of Blue Rapids, passed away Monday. Funeral service Saturday, 2 p.m. at Kinsley Mortuary in Marysville. Private burial in the Prospect Hill Cemetery. Visitation Friday, 11 until 9. Family will greet friends Friday, 6 until 8, at Kinsley Mortuary in Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Don Ubben. Edward Ed Cabriel, age 72 of Marysville, passed away Tuesday. Funeral service will be held at a later date, with Kinsley's in charge of arrangements for Ed Cabriel.
United Bank and Trust has been fulfilling the banking needs of families and businesses in Northeast Kansas for decades. United Bank and Trust is always advancing, and now they'd like to offer a free mobile deposit feature within the mobile banking app. Endorse, click, and submit your check image for deposit. It's a mobile-fast world out there, and so is United Bank and Trust, the bank of your future. Visit our website at ubankonline.com or your local branch for more information. United Bank and Trust, banking for your way of life. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for Northeast Kansas and Southeast Nebraska. Skies staying fairly cloudy across the region today as another low pressure system makes its way through. Snow showers will mainly fall throughout the afternoon before clearing up overnight. Temperatures will stay chillier today before we warm up on Friday. For today, we can expect to see highs in the lower teens and lower 20s throughout Iowa, the lower to upper teens throughout Nebraska, the upper teens and upper 20s throughout Kansas, and the lower to upper 20s throughout Missouri. Between 1 and 2 inches of snow is expected throughout central and eastern Iowa, as well as eastern Nebraska. Temperatures will remain extremely chilly throughout the overnight hours, with lows just above and below zero throughout Iowa, lows just below zero throughout Nebraska, the single digits and lower teens throughout Kansas, and the lower teens throughout Missouri. Temperatures will warm up on Friday. I'm forecaster Kara Foster.
Average high temperature late February 48, record high on this date 82, the average low 24 and the record low 15 below zero. Sunset this evening 6:14, sunrise in the morning at 7:07.
It won't be long before onions can be planted, but choose your variety carefully. Some tips are next from the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Farmers and ranchers looking to help their own following the devastating windstorms and fires in Kansas December 15th can use the Hitchpin app to help deliver relief.
Hitchpin is a great way to let others know what kind of help you need, or if you are able to help by donating hay, services, materials, labor, or any other kind of donation.
From the Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
Frustrated with your current health care coverage? Kansans are saving up to 60% a month with Kansas Farm Bureau health plans. Choose from individual and family plans, short-term coverage, or dental and vision plans. It's quality coverage you can afford. Learn more and get a free quote by visiting kfbhealthplans.com or visiting a Farm Bureau financial services agent near you.
With more practical tips and useful advice, here's the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Thursday, February 24th, the 55th day of the year. Baseball players Mike Lowell and Eddie Murray were born on this day, and American forces liberated the Philippine capital of Manila today in 1945. Onions will be one of the first crops to set out this spring once the ground is workable. The general rule of thumb is to set them out 4 to 6 weeks before the last expected frost, and keep the critical distinction in mind. Because onion bulbs form according to length of daylight hours, they come in short day and long day varieties. Northern gardeners should opt for long day onions, while southern growers should choose the short day type. There is no in-between variety, so if you're unsure, check with your local nursery. That is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. Find more gardening tips online at almanac.com.
Kansas Mid-American Network Sports.
Wichita State continues their season-opening 12-game road swing this afternoon with a midweek matchup at Texas State. The game was originally scheduled for last night at Globe Life Field in Arlington, but the threat of winter weather forced the game to be moved to San Marcos. The Shockers aim to bounce back from a 6-2 loss on Tuesday at Oklahoma, dropping their season record to 0-4. First pitch scheduled for 4 o'clock at Bobcat Ballpark in San Marcos, Texas. The Kansas State women's basketball team looked for its third win over an Associated Press top 15 opponent this season, but number 11 Texas used a 9-0 run midway through the fourth quarter to prevent the Lady Wildcats comeback and left Bramlage Coliseum with a 62-51 win on Wednesday night. The K-State women will now take to the road on Saturday as the Wildcats visit number 20 Oklahoma at the Lloyd Noble Center in Norman at 4 p.m. on Saturday. This is Kansas Mid-America Network Sports.
Kansans with disabilities and senior citizens are three times more likely to be crime victims. If you are a Kansas senior citizen or a Kansan with a disability and you are a crime victim, contact the Disability Rights Center of Kansas at 877-776-1541. We may be able to help you with your civil legal matter. Contact us at 877-776-1541 or drckansas.org. Once again, if you are a Kansas senior or a Kansan with a disability who is a crime victim, contact the Disability Rights Center of Kansas at 877-776-1541 or drckansas.org. We may be able to help you with your civil legal matter. The content of this radio ad is sponsored by the Disability Rights Center of Kansas and this station. It is supported by a VOCA grant awarded through the Federal Office for Victims of Crime as administered by the Kansas Governor's Grants Program. It does not necessarily reflect the views of the Office of the Kansas Governor or the U.S. Department of Justice.
The Kansas Collegiate Athletic Conference, the KCAC, announced the 21-22 KCAC men's basketball all-conference teams and award winners. The first team consists of Jalen Scott from Bethel College, Kevin Clark of Southwestern College, Solomon Clayton of Bethany College, Jaden Letzke of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and June Murdoch of Kansas Wesleyan University. The women's all-KCAC first team was announced. It includes Maddie Morgan from Avila University, Bailey Albright from Sterling College, Brittany Roberts from McPherson College, Kelsey Hines of Kansas Wesleyan University, Taya Wilson from Sterling College, and Zoe Shield Knight from Tabor College. The Kansas women's basketball team's seven-game winning streak was snapped on Wednesday by number 9 Iowa State, which held a consistent double-digit lead and won 85-59 at Allen Fieldhouse. The Jayhawks will once again be in action, this time Saturday at number 5 Baylor at 2 p.m. This is Kansas Mid-America Network Sports.
Thursday night, 1A sub-state basketball tip-offs. Axtell boys entertain Lynn, Centralia's home to Donovan West, and Washington County boys are at Blue Valley, all 7 o'clock tip-offs. On Friday, Axtell girls at Wetmore, Frankfort girls entertain Onega, Washington County girls host to Solomon. Those games tip off at 7. Live broadcast coverage coming up Monday as the Marysville girls and boys basketball teams tip off in 3A sub-state play. Marysville at Hiawatha Monday, girls at 6, boys follow at 7:30. MHS Lady Bulldogs are number 7 seed, 9 and 11, facing 2nd seed Hiawatha, 16 and 3, in a rematch of a season opener, which the Lady Redhawks won 46-38. Top seed Silver Lake hosts Royal Valley, 3rd seed Nemaha Central is home to Sabetha, and the 4-5 seeds are Jeff West and Rossville. MHS boys are number 5 seed, 9 and 11, facing number 4 Hiawatha, 9 and 10. The Redhawks took the season opener over Marysville by 1 on a last-second shot. Again, Bulldog basketball tipping off in sub-state Monday live on AM 1570 FM, not a 4.1. Winners advance to semifinals next Thursday and Friday at Silver Lake. Valley Heights Lady Mustangs, 18 and 2, are top seed and host Republic County. Winless in 20 starts, they meet Monday night at 7 in the Republic County 2A sub-state, while 2nd seed El Saline meets Waubonsie. 3rd seed Harrington takes on St. Mary's, and 4-5 seeds Bennington and Salina Sacred Heart tip off. On the boys' side, Valley Heights Mustangs are number 6 seed, 4-10, tipping off at 3rd seed Waubonsie, 14-5, Tuesday at 7. Top seed St. Mary's boys host Harrington. 2nd seed Sacred Heart entertains El Saline. and 4-5 seeds Bennington and Republic County meet first round. Winners advance to semifinals next Thursday and Friday at Republic County. Again, Thursday night basketball tip-offs in 1A sub-state play. Boys action, Axtell hosting Lynn. Centralia's home to Donovan West. And Washington County tips off at Blue Valley. In the 1 through 4A girls state wrestling championships at Salina Wednesday, Marysville junior Ella Johnson defeated Osuska of Augusta 5-0 to open the tournament. Johnson then lost to Wickham of Hoisington 0-5. Ella Johnson will face Ashlyn Pasternak of Scott Community on the backside of the 138-pound bracket as wrestling continues Thursday. Marysville takes 8 boys to the state tournament at Fort Hays State Friday and Saturday.
The sugar maple is one of our better-known and favorite native trees, but its intolerance of heat, drought, and heavy clay soils has limited plantings in urban settings and hotter regions. Several selections of Cotto sugar maples are helping to expand its use in hotter and drier environments. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. These varieties have been performing well in research trials at Kansas State University's John C. Pear Horticulture Center. These trees prove more heat and drought tolerant, better adapted to higher pH soils, and resistant to leaf scorch and tatters. Autumn Splendor may be the best sugar maple for southern plains in the Southwest. John Pear is a slightly smaller, rounder variety, also suited to the southern plains. Flash Fire, another Cotto maple, is hardy to zone 4, adapted to southern heat, and has good mildew resistance. Check out our website for this and other gardening tips.
The week of George Washington's birthday is annually celebrated as National FFA Week. Today we trace the history of the future farmers to a small oak table in a classroom on the campus of Virginia Tech University. The story of that table and the organization that resulted is this edition of the American Countryside, brought to you by Verdesian Life Sciences, providing solutions to help you get more of the nutrients you're applying. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more. Looking for an edge at planting this season? Look no further than Seed Plus Graphite from Verdesian. It's a talc and graphite solution that delivers a full nutrient and biostimulant package directly to the seed, which helps stand establishment and tolerance to stressors like cold and drought. You can apply it like any other seed lubricant directly in the planter box. That's why we're using it this year on our own crop. Verdesian representatives are standing by to support you. Just head to VLSCI.com to connect and learn more.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, the only weekend television show that features some of agriculture's biggest names. From custom commentary from John Phipps to the stories of antique iron with Machinery Pete to a list of more than 30 marketing analysts, our weekly program focuses on the topics that matter most to you. We invite you to join us each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Walter Newman became state supervisor of vocational education in Virginia in the mid-1920s. As John Hillison explains, Newman
came back to Virginia Tech on a September day in 1925 and met with three other teacher educators here, named Harry Sanders, Edmund McGill, and Henry Goskos.
That meeting is considered the beginning of the Future Farmers of Virginia, the inspiration for today's FFA organization.
They sat at an oak table and started talking about how rural students didn't have as much confidence in themselves as, say, their city cousins.
The four men proposed an organization for vocational agriculture students that would provide leadership and confidence for those high school boys.
That's how the Future Farmers of Virginia got started. It was very successful, and Walter Newman went around the country telling other teacher educators about the idea, and pretty soon the idea caught on, and then that led to the establishment of the Future Farmers of America in 1928.
The oak table where the first meeting was held is in the FFA History Museum at Virginia Tech. There was a problem, though. There were two identical tables in the room when that first meeting was held.
They sat around one of those two, and then they had to decide later on which one was the one they actually sat at. One of the founders apparently had a pocket knife, and he was carving a little bit on a drawer, and they used that as evidence for which one they claimed as the oak table.
Hillison helps oversee some of the memorabilia from those early years of the FFA. Traveling the countryside in Blacksburg, Virginia, I'm Andrew McCray.
Kids like to play in the dirt and can ingest all kinds of nasty stuff, including lead. Hi, I'm Jody Henke. A high concentration of lead in the soil could be harmful as you're living the country life.
Living the Country Life, ideas and inspiration for your place in the country. You can find more information on today's topic and from previous shows by visiting us online at livingthecountrylife.com. We'll return to the show after these messages.
There's a lot of talk about getting back to normal. But for today's top farmers, there's only moving ahead. And just like you, we've never stopped working. When Commodity Classic returns to New Orleans, you can look forward to the same premier agricultural and educational experience you've come to expect. From the only event designed by farmers, for farmers. Because we understand the only way to get back to normal is by pushing ahead. Join us when we return March 10th through 12th. The future is in your hands at CommodityClassic.com.
Whenever you're online, Living the Country Life is there too. Like us on Facebook and exchange tips and ideas with people who share your love for the country way of life. Follow us on Twitter at Small Farming for timely news and information. You can also find us on Instagram and Pinterest. See the latest inspired shot from our readers or add a garden tip to your boards. Living the Country Life has all the ideas for your home acreage. Visit us online at livingthecountrylife.com and find us on social media.
Leaded paint and leaded gasoline aren't used anymore, but once lead is in the soil, it stays there. Exposure to lead can have serious health effects in children who might ingest that soil or fruits and vegetables grown in it. Andrew Margonaut is an assistant professor of soil science at the University of Illinois. He says all soils have some lead, which is measured in parts per million from zero up to about 2,000. Most fall in the range of 15 to 25 parts per million, but the health risks depend on the lead concentration.
This is what the US EPA calls a threshold of action if there's bare soil and there are children present. 400 part per million in a exposed soil is the threshold at which you need to do something. And that typically means cover up that bare soil to reduce the pathway of direct exposure, meaning kids eating dirt, or if you're a farmer, as you till, breathing in those dust particles.
He says there are a few ways to help mitigate the risk.
So the first is you increase soil pH. The availability of heavy metals depends on pH. In general, as the pH goes up, they're less available. A second option is to bind up those metals with a binding partner, and in that case, it would be phosphate. Third one would be to use a organic matter input like compost. And compost, it appears, is emerging as an effective way to mitigate the availability of heavy metals like lead in soils.
If soil testing shows a high lead concentration, don't garden in the soil, especially root crops like carrots. Learn more about lead in the soil and what to do about it at livingthecountrylife.com. I'll see you in the country.
Living the Country Life, ideas and inspiration for your place in the country. You can find more information on today's topic, share your tips, and post photos by visiting us online at livingthecountrylife.com.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my loss, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
am fascinated watching virtual painting tutorials. But even if the instructor gives detailed instructions, if you get off track, your painting won't turn out as well as you'd hoped. Hi, I'm Callie Breeze with Thrivent, helping you thrive with purpose. You know, sometimes it's easy to get off track with our financial budgets. Whether you had an unexpected bill come up, or maybe you overspent during an online sale, it can be easy to get off track. One way to ensure you stay disciplined with your finances is to list out your needs and your wants and your wishes. Your needs could include things like your mortgage, your car payments, and groceries. Your wants could be anything from paying off your student loans early to buying a new patio set. And your wishes, well, that could be wanting to retire early so you can care for your grandchildren. And just like following along to the instructor's directions at the beginning of a paint class, be sure to follow your budget. If you get off track, pick things back up. When you prioritize sticking to a budget, you can achieve more financial clarity and live a life of meaning.
A U.S. senator predicts 2022 will be a wild year for American farmers. That's next on Farm to Fork. Are you looking for precision ag technology that works the way it's supposed to? How about a way to make a long planting season, harvest season, and every season in between more enjoyable? Look to Ag Leader for a technology solution that can be used across different colored machinery and in various seasons and field activities. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com for more information. When you think of classic trios, you might think of the Three Stooges or the Three Little Pigs. But there's nothing cute or funny about nitrogen loss. Enter Trident Nitrogen Stabilizer, the new industry standard in nitrogen loss prevention. It protects against all three forms of N loss, making it more available to your crop. Think of it as more Three Musketeers and less Three Amigos. Talk to your local ag retailer about Trident and harness the power of three. Arkansas Republican John Boozman says 2022 is expected to be a record year for gross farm income. The ranking member of the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee recently told a gathering of state departments of agriculture, however, that this will also be an expensive year to be farming in America.
For many farmers, the increased cost of farming are deterring them from wanting to continue in the industry. For many places in rural America, agriculture is all that's left. In my home state of Arkansas, 55 of 75 counties have lost population. People are leaving to pursue economic opportunities beyond the farm. Young people are not coming back to the farm. The same trend is likely happening in each and every one of your states.
Boozman called on state ag department leaders to use their best efforts to help keep farmers and ranchers and rural America afloat.
We must find solutions to rebuild rural economies, stabilize our markets, and secure livelihoods in rural America. We need to work towards solutions to bridge the digital divide, increase export opportunities, and increase our use of innovative tools to meet evolving consumer demand. The country simply cannot afford to leave our rural communities behind.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Ag News from the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm Andy Hoosier. Well, the highly pathogenic avian influenza has showed up in the states of Indiana, Virginia, and Kentucky so far. And Dennis Spears is communications director for the Indiana Board of Animal Health, and she says that Indiana's outbreak began in commercial turkey flocks.
We're dealing with a highly pathogenic avian influenza, the H5N1 strain, in a commercial poultry flock in southern Indiana. It's DuBois County, which is our top turkey-producing county in the state of Indiana. What we've done is established what's called a control area. It's a 10-kilometer circle around the farm that has been affected, and all of the commercial flocks within that circle have been quarantined. If you count the flock that was affected, there are 18 total commercial flocks. While they're under quarantine, they're required to test weekly for avian influenza, and they've been doing that on a regular basis now. They've gone through their second round of testing. So we are also reaching out to small flock owners who are like backyard birds, hobby flocks, and trying to get them tested as well.
On any given day, she says that biosecurity is important to success in poultry operations, and poultry producers need to heighten their vigilance when it comes to staying out of their flocks, regardless of how big or small that flock may actually be.
We preach biosecurity a lot around here, and it's really important, especially when you're talking with smaller flocks that will have birds outside. Avian influenza is carried and spread pretty easily by migratory waterfowl like ducks and geese, and when you get into late winter, early spring, they're starting to move, and they shed the virus in their droppings. So you can tell that it's very easy to get it in the environment and around. It's just important any time of the year, but especially now we've had a few positive cases in some other states. So now is a time for everybody who owns poultry to be on high alert, whether you're large commercial sized or a small backyard holder.
That again was Denise Spears with the Indiana Board of Animal Health. Ag News from the Mid-America Ag Network.
Must go down.
Let's check the answer.
Oh, no. Electric rates have increased dramatically,
was the answer we were looking for.
Please visit PlinkFlipThatSwitch.com to get the real facts about how Kansas oil and gas are powering a brighter future for Kansans.
Row crop farmers, where do you go to find seed that is adapted to your environment? Call Kaufman Seed. We specialize in corn, soybean, grain sorting. For all of Kansas, we don't import seed from other areas. We test to ensure that it works here before we recommend it to our customers. You have counted on us to provide you with top quality seed wheat. Now look to us for the same expertise in corn, soybeans, and grain sorter. Call Kaufman Seeds at 800-634-2836.
Cattle producers, you know that once a calf is on the ground, your work doesn't stop there. Cold stress can affect how well colostrum is absorbed, so dry off and warm them up with a calf warmer from Valley Vet Supply. And it's always a good idea to have a package of Calf's Choice Colostrum on hand in case you need it. Visit Valley Vet Supply just off the Pony Express Highway in Marysville, Kansas. Order online at valleyvet.com.
This is an Ag Business Update from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers. General aviation is oftentimes an underrated benefit to rural communities. Michael Clements with more.
General aviation is more than simply the rich jetting around the world. For some, it's a way of life, and others, it's a lifeline. Selena Shalott, Alliance for Aviation Across America Executive Director, says many rural communities benefit from general aviation.
General aviation, which is all non-military commercial aviation, is critically important for our nation, for our economy. It supports local businesses, farms, and it's very important for our connecting rural communities to services as well, including medical care, disaster relief, firefighting, and many other services.
National Grange President Betsy Huber recently joined the Alliance for Aviation Across America Board of Directors. Shalott says Huber is a welcome addition.
Our mission is really to raise awareness about the value and importance of general aviation and local airports, and have been fortunate to work with Betsy in the past on that important message. She really seems to understand the importance of aviation and general aviation to our national economy and to agriculture and to rural communities.
The National Grange is an agriculture organization that promotes the well-being of communities. And created in 2007, the Alliance for Aviation Across America represents a variety of members.
A lot of our members are pilots, airports, those within the aviation sector. But then we've also worked to establish partnerships and relationships with a lot of members outside of aviation.
Shalott says investing in general aviation infrastructure is critical for the future of rural communities.
Whether it's transporting goods or overseeing crops or being able to transport particular types of tools or equipment, fighting fires or transporting patients or our food production. So it's critically important that we support our infrastructure and all forms of aviation, including general aviation.
Michael Clements reporting.
That's an Ag Business Update from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Planning for the future includes accounting for the present. Crop insurance protection assures that your farming operation will withstand the variabilities of weather and potential disaster. Rely on the coverage that crop insurance provides. And rely on Linda Schmitz with Linda's Insurance Agency for the experience and personal service that she offers. Call today and update your crop insurance options. That's Linda's Insurance Agency, 1507 Broadway in Marysville.
Phosphorus is an essential nutrient in soil for plant growth. Managing phosphorus depends a lot on your soil's chemistry. On Successful Farming Radio.
Successful Farming Radio, providing information farmers need in the field, in the shop, and in the office. Committed to growing your business in agriculture.
There's no need to compromise on your seed decision. At Farmers Business Network and FBN Direct, we say no to zone pricing and yes to transparency, so your bottom line doesn't have to take a hit. Head to FBN.com/plant to find out how our seed lineup can help you save big on the diverse genetics your farm needs. Farmers Business Network and FBN Direct. Quality seed. Honest prices. No compromise. Visit FBN.com/plant.
If you're not planning for the future, you're already falling behind. Thinking about what's next on your farm means staying one step ahead. At Commodity Classic, you'll cultivate better strategies to modernize your operation, where you can focus on yield and take your profits to the next level. The future is in your hands when you join us in New Orleans, March 10th through 12th, 2022. Learn more at CommodityClassic.com.
Phosphorus is one of the three nutrients usually added to soil as fertilizer. One of the main roles of phosphorus is energy transfer in plants. Adequate levels stimulate early plant growth and hastens maturity. If there's not enough, it could affect yield. Daniel Kaiser is an extension nutrient management specialist at the University of Minnesota. He says the best way to know how much phosphorus is available in the soil is to do a soil test.
Most of the soil tests that are out there, if they are indexes of response, and they don't measure the total amount of phosphorus that's out there, because our soils contain large quantities of phosphorus, but only very small amounts typically are available to plants. So with the soil test, we're trying to use it more as an index tool or as a risk assessment tool to try to determine whether or not the soil can supply enough phosphorus for a particular crop we're growing within a given year.
Phosphorus is very chemically reactive to other elements in the soil, such as iron, aluminum, and calcium. This can change the nutrient's availability and affect how it's managed in some soils.
There isn't one size-fits-all management strategy just because of some of these reactions that are taking place. Particularly for soils in the Midwest, we know that some soils have a large amount of calcium that can tend to react with the phosphorus that can render it unavailable for a period of time.
Let soil phosphorus levels, crop, and soil characteristics guide your decisions on fertilizer and manure rates, timing, and methods of application. Mismanaging this nutrient can pose a threat to water quality. I'm Jody Henke. Learn more about managing phosphorus in soil at agriculture.com.
Third Road Ag Sales have concept by Agritech. Innovative technology and proven products improve soil health, increase yields, and allow greater return on your investments. See the difference for yourself with a call today to Third Road Ag. Hay producers, remember they offer American Family Net Wrap and can fill your needs today. Check out Third Road Ag Sales on Facebook.
Market information from the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Andy Hoosier, going through a Thursday today. Market's wrapping up here in just a little bit, and we're still seeing a lot of high numbers in the grain markets, at least for the corn and the wheat. Soybeans are moving into the red after kind of a mixed start to the day. Over in the corn market right now, things are moving further into the positive, with March corn sitting at near 18 and a quarter cents higher right now at 7.02 even a bushel. We have Kansas City wheat for March up by 45 and a quarter cents. They've slowed down just slightly, sitting at 9.58 and three quarters. Over in the soybeans, they started off a little bit higher, but things have slowly moved downward as the day has gone along here. March soybeans are down right now 11 and a quarter at 16.63 and three quarters. The meal for March is down by $5.90 at 465.20. The May also down by 8.5 at 457.5. Soybean oil is still higher, a little bit slower than what it was at the beginning, but still positive, with March soybean oil up $1.91, sitting at 72.63. Over in the cotton market today, we do see a little bit of green here. It definitely has slowed down, though. It was seeing near $2 gains. Now we're sitting up for the March cotton up 31 cents in the positive at 122.71. The May is down $2.09 at 119.21. Over in the canola, March canola up $36.10 right now, sitting at 10.79 and 20 cents. Oats market, they're also said on the board, with March oats down by 17 and three quarters, sitting at 661 even a bushel. In the livestock markets, kind of the other story here, a lot of red on the board everywhere here. Live cattle for February currently down $2.05 at 141 even. The April down 235 at 142.40. And the feeder cattle, March down 4.25 at 158.52. And April down by $4.95 at 163.32. U.S. dollar index, on the other hand, seeing a little bit of green here, with March index up by $1.07, currently sitting at 97.26. We have 30-year bonds up slightly, sitting at 153, and 10-year notes up at 126.
Welcome back to Flip That Switch. It's our final round. Jessica, are you ready?
Born ready.
What has happened in every single state that has received over 5% of its electricity from renewable sources? Large increases or decreases in electric rates?
The sun is free, so is the wind, so electricity bills must go down.
Let's check the answer. Oh, no. Electric rates have increased dramatically, was the answer we were looking for.
Please visit PlayFlipThatSwitch.com to get the real facts about how Kansas oil and gas are powering a brighter future for Kansans.
If you're the owner of a flat roof, whether the property is commercial, business, or residential, you know a flat roofing system is different than any other system. That's why when it comes to a flat roof that's built to stay, the only name to know is Ray, W-R-A-Y, Ray Roofing Incorporated, aims to provide the best designed and most effective roofing system for each customer while maintaining a highly economical balance. Taking pride with meticulous work on each project is Ray Roofing, online at W-R-A-Y.
This is National FFA Week, and FFA students across the country are celebrating. I'm National FFA's Southern Region Vice President Eric Robinson from the state of Georgia. Many special activities are happening in FFA communities this week, but all year long, FFA members experience education, leadership, service, and personal and professional development as FFA feeds our intellectual growth and curiosity. Celebrate with us and share your FFA stories during hashtag FFA Week.
A salute to our local FFA members and chapters from the Animal Health Center in Washington, Marysville Mutual Insurance, Schroeder Collision Center, Blue Valley Technologies, JD Construction, M&R Auto Parts, and Andy's Hardware and Lumber.
Hello, I'm Coy Stomp, and I'm from the Washington County FFA chapter. And I love FFA because it teaches you a variety of things outside of agriculture, including public speaking skills, and even this past week, I was able to do a job interview, which I had not experienced before, and it's just great because it gets you ready for the real world.
A salute to our local FFA members and chapters from the Animal Health Center in Washington, Marysville Mutual Insurance, Schroeder Collision Center, Blue Valley Technologies, JD Construction, M&R Auto Parts, and Andy's Hardware and Lumber.
KNDY. Country music play here on Classic Country KNDY Marysville, AM 1570 and FM 94.1. Now, ABC News.